First Mahanama, Pratama Mahanama Sutta. This discourse appear in Anguttara Nikaya, the book of 11th. The Sakya Mahanama approached the Blessed One, worshipped, sat on a site and said to the Blessed One, Venerable Sir, we hear that many bhikkhus are engaged in sowing the Blessed One's robe, and the Blessed One is to leave on a tour at the end of the 3 months, when the robe was ready. Venerable Sir, we abide in various abiding. Which is the most suitable abiding in which we should abide? So they are abiding in various ways, so what is the best way? Good Mahanama, sons of clansmen like you should approach the thus called one is the Buddha, to ask this Venerable Sir, we abide in various abidings, which is the most suitable abiding in which we should abide. Mahanama, one with faith will be successful, not without faith. One with aroused effort will be successful, not without aroused effort. One with mindfulness established will be successful, not without. One concentrated will be successful, not without concentration. A wise one will be successful, not one without wisdom. So here we are talking about the saddha, faith, and aradha viryo, that is effort, and then sati, samahito, that is this concentration, and panya. So those are the five things. So these are faculties. So that the faculty of faith, faculty of mindfulness, effort, concentration, and so this five has to be seen little bit first. Petakopadesa explained this one, these five faculties. The faith has the characteristic of non-remorse. Its manifestation is placing faith. So it is placed the face, faith, saddha, for someone who has got the faith. So there's non-remorse is the characteristic. Its footing is the four factors of stream entry. As stated by the Blessed One, Bhikkhu, where is the faith faculty to be seen? In the four factors of stream entry. So the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, that there is this the faith about them, and then there is this virtue. So that's how the faith faculty come to arise. The energy faculty or the effort has the characteristic of not dissipating the vigor. So whatever the physical and mental strength is not allowing it to dissipate, that's the characteristic. It's holding it. Its manifestation is the instigation of energy. So energy normally goes away when you put effort, and so it keep on supplying it and maintaining it. The footing for its being there is the four right endeavors, that is the four right effort. That is effort to discard the evil that has arisen, effort to prevent arising of unarisen evil, effort to maintain wholesome states, and effort to develop the wholesome states. So those four efforts is the 14. Is the 14 over here? There is a word atita is used. That means that the whatever effort that we had before is now supporting the effort I have now. You see that the person who is studying for the examination, and you know that has been studying before and achieve certain things to a certain level, and some parts has been covered, and yet there is something to be done. So he put more effort and keep on doing it. So that's the effort. And mindfulness has the characteristic of remembering. So it remembers. What it remembers? It remembers that this is the wholesome thing. This is the unwholesome thing. This is the arising phenomenon and this is the passing away phenomenon. So it keeps reminding one. Its manifestation is non-forgetting. It does not allow this one to whatever the good things and bad things to be forgotten. The footing for its being there is the four foundations of mindfulness. Satrasatipattana, four foundations of mindfulness is the footing for the mindfulness. Bhikkhu, where is the mindfulness faculty to be seen? In the four foundations of mindfulness. Concentration has the characteristic of unification, so it unifies the mind. Its manifestation is non-distraction, so it doesn't allow the mind to go here and there, which unifies it. Its footing is the four meditations, As stated by the Blessed One, Bhikkhu, where is the concentration faculty we see? In the four meditations. So that is the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhana, dhana, concentrations. That's where that we can see that those things are the ones that support the concentration, samadhi. Understanding has the characteristic of understanding or wisdom, has the characteristic of act of understanding. Its manifestation is judging how a meaning is. Its footing is the Four Noble Truths. So having contemplated about the Four Noble Truths is the one actually support. It is the one behind this, the wisdom. So those are the five faculties. Now, Buddha said, establishing these five things, you should further develop six things. You should recollect the thus gone one, worthy and rightfully enlightened, endowed with knowledge and conduct, well gone, knows the world, the incomparable tamer of those to be tamed, the teacher of the gods and men, enlightened and blessed. Mahanama, when the noble disciple recollect thus gone one, at that time, is Buddha. It's another way of expressing the Buddha. So it's bit sort of unusual, but the many translators use that one. So Buddha is the enlightened one. At that time, his mind is not overcome by greed, by anger, and by delusion. So at such time, his mind is straightforwardly placed in the thus gone one. Mahanama, when the noble disciple's mind is straightforward, he experiences the meaning, the teaching, the delight arising on account of experiencing the teaching. To one delighted arises joy. A joyful one has an appeased body. One with appeased body experiences pleasantness. The mind of one who is pleasant concentrates. Mahanama, to this is said the noble disciple abides coming to terms with the disharmonious world. Abiding untroubled and troubled world, developing recollections of the enlightened one. So what it says is that when we recollect Buddha's qualities, at that time our mind does not overcome by greed, anger and delusion, lobha, dosa, moha. Our mind becomes straightforward. And by doing that one, he experienced the meaning of this Dhamma. And he come to understand the Dhamma and the teaching, and delight arises. So when the delight arises, remember the last week we discussed this one, and if you have the delight, the gladness, and then the joy comes in, and then the tranquility of mind, and then the concentration, all those things occur from that one. Now this has to be seen thoroughly. You should recollect the Buddha, worthy, rightfully enlightened. So, enlightened means that Buddha does not have the lobha, dosa, moha, the greed, the lust, and the delusion. So, remember that the greed arises because of the delightful thing, that we haven't seen something delightful, pleasant to mind, and then by thinking about those things, so we get the contact because of that one, and then because of the contact we get the feeling, pleasurable feeling, and then because of the pleasurable feeling we approach with joy about that particular object. Having approached that object, now the lust arises. When the lust arises, we contemplate, we think about that one with senses. We get the sensual thoughts about it, and then we are burning with the fever, lust-born fever, and that leads to the the arising phenomena, that is this the upada sankata lakkhana in Pali, that is this the arising phenomena of these constructed things. And because of that one, we get this what is called viparinama dukkata, that is this we get the aging, sickness, death, that sort of painful nature, suffering nature. So that is the first characteristic, because that we are getting the greed. So Buddha does not have it. Now in the contemplation, one would think that I have greed, Buddha does not have it. And then you think that how the greed come to arise to me. And then the Buddha has got rid of that one. Similarly, one would think about the anger and the delusion. So that is only one thing. So the contemplation about that one is very strong as well. And then end up with knowledge and conduct. This is the Sitipiso Bhagava Arahan Samma Sambuddho Vijjacharana Sampannu. So Vijjacharana, there are three things. Vijjacharana means there are three knowledges. Normally it takes the three knowledges. That Buddha has got the knowledge about that the being, can recollect past births of a person and Buddhas. There's no limit. And that's one knowledge. And then Buddha can see that someone having done these meritorious deeds and or demeritorious deeds, this particular person will be passing away, and then he'll be born in such and such a world. The karma can be analyzed and seen. And then Buddha got the third knowledge, that is the destruction of knowledge for destruction of cankers, that this asrava, asravakya jnana. Destruction of taints. So those are the three things. So one has to.
So the second one that you said, the analyze
karma
based on the karma.
Buddha can see the analyze is karma.
Is that if somebody, because Buddha said for some people this would happen to them.
He will be born, and he will be born in such and such a destination. By
doing it's done through the analysis, that he could see.
He has to see the faculties. He got a great wisdom. It is coming from Dibba Chakku, the divine eye element. From the divine eye, we got the Mahinsa Chakku, that's this normal eye. And when you develop the divine eye can see the far away objects and sort of things. And then by means of divine eye, further developing that, Buddha arrive at that that knowledge. That is the second one. And then the third one is the destruction of taints. So that is three. Vijja, that is only vijja. And charana is conduct. So that one is really big, and so we discussed this one in before. I don't know whether you can remember. There are 15 charana dham, palos charana dham in Sinhala. So it's explained in Seka Patipada Sutta, the practice of one in training. I mean, it's useless to go through the discourse without knowing this one. So otherwise one would not contemplate about the Buddha, otherwise would say it is so Bhagavara, that's all, there's nothing going in that one. So there's quite a lot here, but we will look at in brief. So the first one is it says the disciple of the noble one consummate in virtue. So Buddha got that virtue and the disciples got the virtue as well. There is the case where the disciple of the noble one is virtuous. He dwells restraining accordance with the Patimokkha, consummate in his behavior and sphere of activity. He trains himself having undertaken the training rules, seeing danger in the slightest fault. This is how the disciple of the noble one is consummate in virtue. Having seen something, do not grab that those things that the virtue is maintained. That's the first one. The second, the conduct, is that noble one guards the doors of his sense faculties. There is the case where the disciple of the noble one, on seeing a form with the eye, does not grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the eye, evil unskilled qualities such as greed, distress might assail him. So there's first one is the virtue, second one is the guarding the Indra Sangha or guarding the faculties. Similarly for the hearing, all those things. And the third one, he is moderating eating. So that he takes food not for playing, just for the maintenance of the body, not for beautification. And the fourth one is noble disciple devotes to wakefulness. There is the case where a monk during the day sitting and facing back and forth cleanses his mind. Any qualities that would hold the mind in check, that is these hindrances. We get rid of the check whether I have hindrances, sensual desire, anger and all those things, and check and then get rid of it. When in the Buddha's time, when monks are going on Pindapata also, and if they get the sensual desire, the person who got the sensual desire, they set aside, do not walk further until that one is going away from the mind. So it's that sort of a purification. That's the fourth one. The first one is the virtue, then second one is the indriya sangara, or the guard in the sense faculties. Third one is the moderation in eating, and then the devoted to wakefulness is the fourth one. Fifth one has got seven qualities. That is this, the quality of faith, saddha, and it's that the Buddha's enlightenment. The blessed one is worthy and right, fully self-awakened, consummate, that all the things that we were thinking about. Now just think about that. Buddha has got the faith about the Buddha. If you think about the, going through the discourse, we are talking about that one who contemplate about this thing, right? So you can see that even the Buddha got is not only for the noble disciple, so Buddha got this quality as well, the faith quality. Where is his faith? It is for Dhamma. It is his teacher. Buddha's teacher is the Dhamma that he invented himself. Remember that after enlightenment, Buddha put the Dhamma as his teacher? So, now one would recollect about the Buddha in this way. And then he feels shame, hirima, at the thought of engaging in bodily misconduct. Ashamed of doing bad things, evil things. And he feels concern for the suffering that results from the bodily misconduct. That is actually the fear. Fear of this doing bodily bad things, verbal misconduct and mental misconduct. He has heard much, has retained what he has heard, has told what he has heard. Whatever teaching are admirable in the beginning, admirable in the middle, admirable in the end, in their meaning and expression, proclaim the holy life that is entirely complete and pure. So that's that that Bahusutto, those who learning is there. That is again Charanadam. And he keeps his persistence aroused, Aradha Viryo, for abandoning unskilled mental qualities and taking on skillful mental qualities. So that's the fifth one. He is mindful, sati, remembering and able to call to mind even things that were done and said long ago. He is discerning, that is, he got wisdom, endowed with discernment of arising and passing away. Noble, penetrating, leading to the right ending of stress. So now we talk about 11 things, because 7 over here, the 4 before, so 11. And then the next one is the concentration. The first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhana, concentration. So you can see 11 plus 4, 15. So 15, conduct. Now remember, think about this one. If you are contemplating about the, you know, the Buddhana Smriti, if you are doing the Buddhana Smriti, you need to go through these things. So that 15, that plus 3, and the Buddha's other knowledges are there as well, but normally you can restrict to 3. So that is only one part. Okay. Now you can see by the time you recollect Buddha, you have recollected the whole Dhamma. Remember, this person is actually have got the 5 faculties first. Buddha said, have the 5 faculties developed. That is the faculty of Saddha, effort, mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. How do you get that one? It's from the Eightfold Path. Eightfold Path, you get that one. When you have these things, you have the Eightfold Path. Those are those qualities. And having those things, one would recall about this enlightenment that Buddha got rid of this hatred and the delusion and then the lust. So those 3. And then we recall about these 15, the conduct. It's not that easy. Buddhanusmuti is not that easy. If you are doing it correctly, it is not that easy, because the whole Dhamma has to be recalled to your mind. So we have got only 2 covers now. And then I will go to knows the world and all the world, so it is also has to be recalled. And then incomparable tame of those to be tamed. So anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati, this is the term that many are not explaining this term. This one appear, this is very important. This one appear in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta. We discussed this discourse as well. Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta in middle and saying. So Buddha said, because it is said that he is the incomparable tame of those to be tamed. Normally people think, Angulimala was, tame. That's why Buddha is the incomparable tame of the world. It's nothing to do with Angulimala. It's a great Dhamma over here. Why was it said so? This is directly from Buddha. Buddha is explaining this one. The elephant tamer makes the elephant to be tamed go into one direction, either east, west, north or south. The horse tamer makes the horse to be tamed go in one direction, either east, west, north or south. Similarly, the oxen tamer makes the ox to be tamed go to one direction, either east, west, north or south. Bhikkhu, the Buddha, perfect and rightfully enlightened, makes the man to be tamed go in eight directions. That's why we call Anuttaro Purisadhamma Sarathi. So what are these eight directions? These are really great, great things. It is matter to see matter. This is the first direction. So what do you mean by the matter to see matter? This is explained in Patisampida Magga. One has got the internal perception of blue, for example, that this is blue. So he has developed the blue kasana meditation. He got the blue sign. Having got that blue sign, he apply to the rest of the world that it is blue. So whatever thing he see, it is blue. He had made it vast. And eventually, having made it vast to the level of the blue, the whole world, then he actually get rid of it. The word is that madaliyahakya in Sinhala, that means that I can get rid of the blue. Because that you see that the color is the one that we attract. We attract to color. The blue color, we like the blue color, for example, in the sky, the blue things. So one would develop that color, then what will happen if you make it vast? You get plenty of blue. When it is vast, then you don't actually attach to it. Because I got plenty, like water. If you have a few drop of water or one cup of water, then you value it. But if you have the oceans of water that you can drink, then you don't care about that. Likewise, if you make it vast, it doesn't give you that much value, so you can get rid of it. So that's the first direction. The second direction, the internal immaterial perception to see external matter. This is the second direction. So he is not actually now perceiving, he has gone beyond the first stage, he does not perceive things in internally blue. He completely applied to the external world, so his mind got to be developed further to do that. So that's the second direction Buddha is asking one to go. And then the third one is to be released in the pleasant end. So that is this the third direction. It is the loving kindness. For example, if you maintain the loving kindness for the north, south, east, all the directions, for all the quarters, that means of the night, the day, all the time, and then that become really vast. So those are called Brahma Vihara. That what it leads to is that if you have the loving kindness developed, it leads to apinhita cheto vimutti, that is the desireless one. And if you develop compassion, also the same. And the mudita, if you develop appreciative joy, that will lead to shunyata, emptiness. And then the upekka, if you develop, maintain, that lead to the signless. So those are the vimukti, the liberations. And then that is three. The fourth one is the overcoming all perceptions of material, of matter and aversion, and not attending to diverse perceptions, which space is boundless, to attain the sphere of space. This is the fourth direction. So that means in Pali it is really nice. Upasanya samatikkama. You go beyond the form, material thing. You see that this really can be applied anyone who wants to meditate. You see, we in our body you can see that I got hair over here, and then I can see hair outside, So I see that that outside hair, that is not mine. I'm not regarding that one as mine. So this is not mine either. If that one is not mine, this one is not mine. the merely hair, all those things, the urine outside, inside, that one is not mine, this is not mine. Excrement outside, that's not mine, this is not mine. So I can get rid of the perception about that I regard certain things over here as mine by looking at the outside and the inside and comparing, because there's no difference whatsoever. The outside one, if I am not taking as mine, the Buddha asked monks one time that those grasses outside, would you regard that those things are as mine? You know, do you get any anger or anything because of those things? If somebody is actually taking those grasses, cutting down, and they said, no. Why is that? Because it's not mine. This is not ours. Similarly, you should disregard whatever thing it is not yours. So this form is not yours. Get rid of it. The feeling is not yours. So if you apply this concept to the all the material things, you know, we got four great elements. Element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, and element of cohesion. So these 32 parts over here are made out of those things. The external ones are also the same. So if I get rid of...
It's a concept. There's a person though, but it's the concept that it's mine.
Yes, it's a concept. It is that we have made it. It's called sanskara. It is coming from the perception. What is this perception? That is a good question. The perception is that you get that regarding this edible food, first you see that this food is sort of a disgusting thing. We regard that one as a fair thing. It's a foul thing. So, asubhe subat sanya. We have that sort of perception. And again, regarding sort of a contact that arises, we get another perception that this is pleasurable, but it is actually suffering. You know, the suffering nature is there, but we think it's pleasurable. So, there's another bad, wrong perception. And similarly, there is this... because of those perceptions and my former dealing with those things, formerly having seen a food or hoppers or something, I like it, I like to eat it, I have tasted it, I know it is tasteful. So when I see it, I get those perceptions that this is fair, super. And then I see whatever thing super or fair, it is sukha, the happiness. It gives me happiness. So I get another form perception. When you have those two perceptions with the formally that I have dwelled with that one and I have cleaned that one, that is called the taints that arise from that one, it would lead to some sort of a chetana or volition. Now I actually take these things as mine. So that I create this concept that this is mine depending on the mind, that this perception. I'm taking these things as mine. So it is a bit deeper. And so that is called I making and my making. Regarding the internal one, I call it I making. The regarding the external one, I call it my making. I'm taking these things as mine. Now, so we get rid of this. These things are not mine. I mean, if that one is not mine, this is not mine. So I'm applying this thing. So when I keep on applying, what Buddha says is that our mind becomes so pure. Because now I am not dealing with any material things. Because I got rid of from mind everything that are material. I'm not focusing. I'm going beyond that material things. And then he focuses on the space. That there is a space inside my nose, mouth, the stomach. There is space outside. So that space is not mine. This space is not mine. So when I apply that one, also that I'm going beyond that space concept as well. All these things are constructed by the mind. And then you can go into the further away. So you can see that the first one over here is that overcoming all the perceptions of matter and aversion and not attending to diverse perceptions. I'm not thinking about any of the sounds, the smell and all those things. And I think the space is boundless. Akasu ananto. So, I have only one perception, that space is infinite. So, that's another direction Buddha sent us to. So, that is how Buddha tamed us. And then, so you can see that if you maintain that the space is infinite for a long time, then how do you know that space is infinite? You know it from the consciousness. I know this carpet here extend from that end to that end, and I maintain this carpet is sort of thing. I think this carpet is infinite to both directions. So, for the entire length of this carpet, my mind is aware that this is infinite. How do I aware of that one? I am aware of my consciousness. So I don't need, having maintained for a long time, I don't need the carpet as an object to maintain my consciousness to be infinite. So if I know the space is infinite, I maintain it for a long time, I don't need the space anymore as an object. So I maintain the consciousness is infinite. And that is the fifth direction. And then from the consciousness, you would know that what do you know from the consciousness? Consciousness is infinite. What I am maintaining is the equanimity for the infinite time length or infinite time or my ability to maintain it. So what I know from consciousness, I know that is pleasurable, displeasure, and neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable. That's all one would know from the consciousness, nothing much. So that's the significant thing one would know. Now he realized that this feeling is arising depending, not independently, depending on the contact. Like that two wood sticks, if you rub them together, then the fire comes to arise, heat comes to arise, fire comes to arise. From the separation of that one, it goes away. This is spirit. So similarly, so now he doesn't want to have the feeling either. So he gets rid of the feeling, any attachment to the feeling. So therefore, he is getting rid of the consciousness. That awareness is now not there. So there are six elements. So the element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and element of heat, and the space element and consciousness element. So if you got rid of those six, what is left? Left with nothing. So he would read the plane of nothing, no thing, nothing. So that is the sixth direction. And then he going beyond that one, because that there is a perception and there is nothing over here, it is also perception. From the mind, there is no thing. I'm thinking there is no thing. So he does not want to have the perception either, so he will attain neither perception nor non-perception. Now he does not want the perception. At that particular time, that he is remaining there with the remainder of the volitional formation, sanskar. And then he make all the things go to cessation, that the cessation of feeling, and then the perceptions. So, nirodha samapatti. So, see, Buddha is sending one to those eight directions. That's why Buddha is incomparable tamer of the those to be tamed. So, even if you recall these eight, see, what would you think? Well, I want to go there and see. So you want to go to that direction. So you put effort to go to those directions. So you see, all the Dhamma is covered over here just by recalling the Buddha.
So this eight direction, it is that one by one we are getting rid of all those things. And at the end, nothing. That is, we want. Is that the way?
The cessation of feeling and perception is also constructed. It is not Nibbana. It is the closest thing to Nibbana. It is that you don't feel anything, you don't perceive anything. It's the never-returners and the arahants who has developed the Iddhipada can attain it. Arahants can attain it. Whoever developed this Iddhipada, the spirituality, they can attain it. So it is not Nibbana. Nibbana is that this is still clingable thing. They are constructed. So that's, we just covered that some part of Buddha's the recollection. So this discourse is really good. If you maintain, if you know how to meditate on this one, you're not going anywhere. You're completely at going through the Nibbana. That it becomes the object as the Nibbana, nothing else. And then Buddha said, again, Mahanama, you should recollect the teaching. The well-proclaimed is the teaching of the Blessed One. And here and now, not a matter of time, leading inwards to be realized by the wise, by themselves. This is the Svakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko. Sandhittiko is this Svakato is that, you know, that the Buddha's teaching is lovely in the beginning, lovely in the middle, lovely in the end. This Dhamma has been taught Buddha in a perfect manner. It doesn't have any wrong theory. You see, these days that we learn certain things and doctors say, we discover this particular one. And then couple of years later, no, that's wrong. You know, so there's no that sort of defects in this Buddha's teaching. It's perfect. And it's lovely in the beginning. That is, let's say someone does not know how these things come to arise. So take, for example, anger. People do not know how they come to get the anger. So if they were told that you get the anger because that there is something that you like and you are clinging to that one, and this is the opposite. And because of the opposite, that you are getting the anger over here. So if you tell that one, then it's like the other side of the coin. That side I like, the queen side, I got the tail, I'm unhappy with the tail. So when one actually hear that one, someone who does not know, well, he's happy about that one. So it's lovely in the beginning. And then he put effort and, you know, the contemplate about that one. So he get the results and so he's happy in the middle part as well. And then he is contemplating further. At the end, he become an arahant. Lovely at the end. So, Svakkhāpa. And then Sandhiṣṭhako is directly visible. How is directly visible? Well, the whole thing, I mean, it's... let's go through this one first. The directly visible Sandhiṣṭhako. The Akāliko is immediate. Immediate results. Ehipassiko, this one is actually missing in this translation. That invite one to come and see, part is missing. Opanaiko, that is applicable. And is translated as leading inwards. It's sort of, it's applicable, it should be applicable. To be realized by that, Pachyattam Veditabbho Viññohiti, that is personally experienced by the wise. So, In connected discourses of the Buddha, Sanghita Nikaya, that there is this nice statement in Gamini Vagga, Gamini Sanghita. Let's say someone got lust, malice, and let's say someone got malice, someone is angry, anger is there. That person, you would agree that he is actually harming himself, and because of the anger, he is actually harming others. Now, if that person got rid of the anger, then anyone can immediately see, well, now he got rid of the anger, he does not have the anger, he is peaceful and so on, right? So that is Sandhiṣṭhakaya. And then, so the Akāliko, immediately you can see, the directly visible one can actually see, Sandhiṣṭhakaya is directly visible. And you can invite anyone, come and say this man hasn't got any anger anymore at this moment, like that. And applicable, it's applicable to him. And personally experienced by the wise whoever comes. So Dhamma is like that one. If someone get rid of the last malice and that one, so the whole, this part is applicable over there. To be honest, we do not know that much about this Dhamma qualities. Because it's not explained anywhere in the Buddha's teaching. It must have been explained before, but we lost it. It's only in Atuvatthika. So there is a big issue over there. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't read it. Atuvatthika, Atuvakkhata. That is the commentary. Only the commentary that explains this, these things. And I have not met anyone who is actually even explaining the incomparable tamer of the world. That part in that I just explained a little while ago. No one. I have not heard any Dhamma, any monk saying this. So I don't know why. Mahanama, when the noble disciple recollect the teaching at that time, his mind is not overcome by greed, by anger and by delusion. At such time, his mind is straightforwardly placed in the teaching. Mahanama, when the noble disciple mind is straightforward, he experiences the meaning. The teaching and delight arise on account of experiencing the teaching. To one delight arises joy. A joyful one has an appeased body. One with appeased body, that is his the mentality, you know, the tranquility of the body and the tranquility of mind is there. So he experiences the pleasantness. The mind of one who is pleasant concentrate. Mahanama, to this is said the noble disciple abide coming to terms with the disharmonious world. Abiding untroubled in the troubled world, developing recollection of the Buddha, of the teaching. Again, Mahanama, you should recollect the community of bhikkhus. The community of bhikkhus of the Blessed One have come to the right path, the straight path, the wise path, and the path of mutual understanding that is again not really translated properly. It is that we are talking about this, the Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangha, that gatha. So that Supatipanna is practicing the good way. Ujjupatipanna is the straight way. And then the Nyayapatipanno, true way. And the Samichipatipanno is the proper way. And we are talking about the four pairs of persons. And the eight types of individuals. Because that the stream entry, the Sotapanna. So there is this magga path and then the fruit. And then the once returner has got the path and the fruit. And then there is this never returner, path and the fruit, the arahant, path and the fruit. So there are eight persons. So again, when the Mahanama, when the noble disciple recollect the community of bhikkhus, at that time his mind is not overcome by greed, anger, by delusion. At such time his mind is straightforwardly placed in the community of bhikkhus. Mahanama, when the noble disciple's mind is straightforward, he experiences the meaning, the teaching, and delight arise on account of the experience in the teaching. To one delighted arise joy. O joyful one has an appeased body. One with appeased body experiences pleasantness. The mind of one who is pleasant concentrates. Mahanama, to this he said, the noble disciple abides coming to terms with the disharmonious world, abiding untroubled in the troubled world, developing recollection of the community of bhikkhus. And again, Mahanama, you should recollect your own virtue that are consistent, not broken, spotted or blemished, free from slavery, not acquired and praised by the wise as leading to concentration. Mahanama, when the noble disciple recollects his virtue, at that time his mind is not overcome by greed. So we see that we need to recollect our own virtue and see whether the panatipata, whether I have done the killing. I have not done killing, so that's good. One check, one tick. And then the stealing and all those things and the lying. And if you can recollect, and when we talk about this, the virtue, you got to have the virtue in eightfold path, what is expressed in the eightfold path at least. Not that the five precepts. The five precepts ones are not good enough to go in the RN way. it leads to certain extent. For example, that the frivolous talks, that, you know, talking about this, the kings, queens, armies, and these politicians and ministers and all those things, they're useless. Cricket matches. And then, so one has to give up those things. And sometimes we sort of make jokes to make other people laugh, sort of thing. You can see, you get one punishment out of doing that one in the meditation time. You can't concentrate. You can't concentrate when you have the frivolous talks. Frivolous talks comes and plays part. So the one thing I gave up when I went through the Eightfold Path meditation, the first thing was to doing these frivolous talks. I knew that immediately whatever the frivolous talks I have been doing previous day is coming and playing its part over here and not letting me concentrate. So give up that one with some effort. It's very valuable to give it up. And then
What do you do when you go to some place and you're talking with your friends? And
just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. Yeah. If you can actually, first, now you have the problem. If I go to my friend's place, if they are not talking Dhamma, then I have to, this frivolous talks problem is coming up to me, right? Or I have to be quiet. Okay. So next time you're thinking, what's the point of me going over there? And then you don't go there. And then you become that I want to be alone. A person who want to be alone. That's the best thing. When there's this course in, Udana with Uttaka, I can't remember. It's called Samana Brahmana Sutta. I can't remember the name of the discourse. Buddha said, if you are not happy to be alone, then that person cannot get the nimitta, the sign for the concentration object. That means you cannot, it is vidyamana noi, it does not come to arise that this person can actually take this sign for the concentration, that whatever the, let's say you are doing the Eightfold Path meditation, if you cannot be alone, you cannot take that this meditation, whatever the meditation is. And having not taken that object, Buddha said, as the concentration, the meditation, then that he developed the yathabhuta jnana, that is this right understanding about this thing, that cannot come to pass, vidyamana no way. And by not doing it, that he won't attain. So you see, the frivolous talks took you out of that, the whole line of this thing. It's a very valuable thing.
And again, when you try to understand more Dhamma and the consequences of what you do, and stop you doing that, and again, you wouldn't find that going to places and making friends, that's not important.
Mm.
And so...
Yes, then you feel
it,
that...
It happens. Mm. It doesn't happen at once. So, but... the more you understand, that's what you would experience.
Why would we need friends?
Mm.
Because we have the instability in our mind. We think, I'm not secure if I don't have.
Mm.
But be aware, if you have the Eightfold Path, you are the strongest person in any society, any working place, any place. If you have the Eightfold Path, if you have the virtue of that Eightfold Path, it is the supreme power for you. Anyone can blame you, but you check your virtue. I have the Eightfold Path, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. It is that strong.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I always felt that, like, I people feel that I'm not very friendly because I don't contribute.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That means you are not doing the realest talks.
Yeah, but still you can be friendly because you say it's in a discussion at workplace or in a classroom environment, but that you put forward your ideas, but it doesn't have any sort of bogus information attached to that.
Yeah. But yeah, later on they will realize. They realize that you are really good. You see that the people in my office also, they know that I don't drink alcohol, I don't participate in any of those things, any social things. And they say that I'm the great. They said that you don't have these things. You're really good. That's what they say. You see that they see it later on. They are suffering and you are not suffering. So it just they come to terms with that one.
I find it different shape of people, like you know.
Yeah. We do have various kind of people, but you don't have to be with them and you know the going in that boat. You just smile with them and, you know, they are not angry. You have the loving kindness, compassion. You can, whatever thing you can do for them, you do that one. But not frivolous talks. Because it's really harmful. And we sort of get out of those societies. But you can see that there is a society over here. It's a friendly society. So that one develops. The other one you've got to do. So you need to have the virtue in the Eightfold Path. Whatever the virtue mentioned in the Eightfold Path, got to be there. Otherwise, you can't go further in that one.
The word you say about the jokes, is it the same as wittiness? Is it the wittiness that... is it different?
I don't know the word wittiness sort of thing, no. How do you explain that one?
Normally, in office environment, people say, certain people are witty. They can say things very quickly and interpret things very quickly. Not an intelligence, but if something like, say, an anger appears with other people. Some people can say something to calm it down. It is not a joke that makes them happy and calm down.
Right.
It's something that, I don't know how to explain
the
witness.
Yeah.
I don't know any single words for that.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody know?
I don't know.
We normally say
witty,
person is
witty. Right. Yeah.
I think in society it is, it's highly, it's valuable, sort of people, because it is valuable.
Mm. Well, that is made up, isn't it? It's made up as valuable. that so by putting some sort of what we are trying to explain here is that I'm putting some sort of a joke so that that person will calm down, sort of thing. But is that joke is the truth? The joke is not the truth, right? Joke is a joke. Yeah. So that means that by telling some false thing, even though he is calmed down at that moment, it's harming him, harming the self. So that sort of thing going in, inside background. So the other person might condemn that person who is actually doing that one later on because he's just, you know, comforting me in this way, but it's not true. So the truth is the best thing in whatever way. So when you think about the truth, then eventually you see the whole noble truth is the truth. Anything else is false. So then you don't go for any other Dhamma. Whatever Dhamma leading to the Four Noble Truth is the one you are talking. So we need to maintain that virtue. And so again, when one recollect that I have this virtue, I mean, do this one in the meditation time. If you are doing the Eightfold Path meditation, just recollect your virtue and see, having given up those jokes and all the other things, see, I don't have any of these things. You can see immediately the rapture arises in you. Gladness arises. That when you see that it is not there. It properly should not be there. And you should be mindful to recollect and see that I have not done such a thing as well. And then again, Manam, you should recollect your own benevolence. That you are the chaga. That is that it is great gain for me that in a world overwhelmed with stains of selfishness, I abide in a household free from stains of selfishness. I abide released in benevolence, with open hands, ready to give to the needy and arranging to give gifts. Mahanama, when the noble disciple recollects his own benevolence, at that time his mind is not overcome by greed, by anger, by delusion. But such time his mind is straightforward, facing the teaching. So that one arises again, the concentration, and he is trouble-free. You see that the almsgiving or whatever thing that you do, you have constructed a temple or something like that one, you recollect by that time, only the happiness comes to arise. So no greed, no lust, because you have given up something and, done something positive. And again, Mahanama, you should recollect the gods. There are gods of the four guardian gods, that's Chaturmaharajika. So there are these planes. The first planes is the Chaturmaharajika, that they sort of live 10 million years. And then beyond that one, there is this Tautimsa. They live 36 million years. Beyond that, there is this Yama world, and lifespan goes up and up and over there. And then there is this Tusita fellow, and beyond that this Nimmanarati, and beyond that one there is this Paranimitta Vasavati. They sort of live 8 billion years. Beyond that there is this Brahma world, the first Jhana realm and the second Jhana realm and all those the Brahma realms. So now this person is now thinking that with whatever faith, virtue, learnness, benevolence and wisdom. So what are these terms? First one is the saddha, faith, and sila, virtue, and sutta, that he has learned, heard, sutta, chaga, benevolence, giving, and then the panya. Those are the five things that the divine beings got. Those gods disappeared from here and were born there. That faith, virtue, learnness, benevolence and wisdom is evident in me too. I'm thinking myself, I got these things as well. They got it, I got it. And Manam, when the noble disciple recollect his own faith, virtue, learnness, benevolence and wisdom, and the faith, virtues, learnness, benevolence and wisdom of those gods, at that time his mind is not overcome by greed, by anger and by delusion. At such time, his mind is straightforward and placed in the gods. Manam, when the noble disciple's mind straightforward, he experiences the meaning, the teaching, the delight arises on account of experiencing the teaching. To one delighted arises joy. A joyful one has an appeased body. One with appeased body experiences pleasantness. The mind of one who is pleased and concentrates. Manam, to this said, the noble disciple abides coming to terms with the disharmonious world, abiding untroubled in the troubled world, developing the recollection of the gods. So that's the discourse. And You can see this one can be used for meditation. This is a recollection meditation. Very heavily one can contemplate about that one. This Mahanama is a stream mentor. He was a stream mentor, Sotapanna. So he did a great favor for us asking this question, and the Buddha appreciated that question. Buddha said, it's good that you ask this question. And so this is how one should be abiding. The recollecting Buddha. If you recollect the Buddha, you have to recollect in the whole Dhamma. There's nothing left in that one. And then you come to understanding about the teaching. That's what Buddha said. You come to understand the teaching. The delight arises about the teaching by recollecting the Buddha. So we were talking about Vidyacharana Sampanna, those 15 Dhammas, and this the three knowledges, and quite a lot over there, and then the incomparable theme of the world, that these eight directions, and all the Dhamma is there. And I use this discourse. I meditated on this one yesterday and today as well. And it's really good. And it's like a, it works like a charm, and you are so happy in that time. You become straight, actually become, mind become really straight when you do this meditation. But you should know the art of, you know, that this Buddha has got the Vidyacharana Sampanna. I mean, last time also when I mentioned that, no one knew about it over here. It's Sekapatipada Sutta. So, yeah, it's good. Do we have any questions?
Which book is it?
Sekapatipada. Sekapatipada Sutta in Middle End Sayings. And it is the... 53, the second book, third one, further in the second book. Yeah, we have a sort of a discussion recorded in my website as well about that one. Yeah, Majjhima Nikaya, yes. The second book, the third discourse in that one. Yeah. And then the other, those eight directions are in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, that is the 137th discourse, classification of the six spheres. You need to look at the last paragraph of that one. The last paragraph explains the what is this Anuttara Purusottama Sarathi means. But that description I gave, that the, you know, that what it mean by with internal immaterial perceptions to the external matter, you don't see the meaning over there. It is in the Patisambhidha Magga, Kuddaka Nikaya. We'll stop for today then. Yeah.